Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in. At that time, when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Morning, Peace Church. I want to welcome those of you upstairs, those of you down in our venue. Wasn't that a beautiful testimony? We are so grateful to be able to partner with people like Billy and Erica, and I just want to thank you guys for sharing with us. Thanks for being vulnerable, for letting us know the real scoop on what's been going on. I know that's not always easy to do. That was beautiful. I think I was a freshman in high school, either freshman or sophomore in high school. And I can remember I was driving in the back of one of my buddy's Trans. He had this beautiful kind of shiny red Trans Am. And there were four of us in the car. And we were headed back to his house. And then we were going to hook up with some of our buddies and go to see an NBA basketball game in Philadelphia. And so we were driving from school. And I'll never forget, we're just kind of driving along, having fun. He might have been going a little faster than he should have. And we came up to the infamous S-curve, which was famous where we lived. In southern Delaware. It was this country S-curve that kind of took two sharp turns, and as we got into the S-curve, I realized a couple things at once. One, that it had started lightly sprinkling, and two, that we weren't just going a little too fast, that we were going a lot too fast. And I'll never forget the moment when his car started sliding. And it slid sideways into the rail and scraped down the whole side of the guardrail. We crossed the centerline traffic. Thank God no car was coming the other way. And we slid all the way down the guardrail. And I can remember my head kind of smashing into the side and glass shattering in. And it was just kind of one of those you know, a little bit slightly scary moments. And finally we got to the end of the thing. He pulled off. We all kind of like felt ourselves, no problem. Problems. We get out of the car, and my friend, who I've later caught up with him and seen him on Facebook, he collects cars now. And he studies racing, which is also interesting. He's written books about race car drivers. And so he gets out of this car that he loves. He polished this car every week. He looks, and just right down the side of his car is just this enormous scrape. And he literally falls to his knees and starts crying. I'm sorry. It was dramatic. And he was a relatively low drama sort of guy. And I just remember seeing him there. Thankfully, everybody was okay. But there was that moment. On one hand, something like that happens, and it happens so fast. It's like, what just happened, right? But if you've ever been in an accident, there's also this kind of surreal slowing down of time too, isn't there? On the one hand, it happens before you can blink. And on the other hand, it's like frame by frame, you feel each second unfold. Have you had one of those slippage moments this winter yet? You know, where you're driving along and you suddenly feel your tires just sort of kind of lift a little bit and your car kind of slides a little bit. It gives that. Doesn't it always, kind of hits you like you got a flock of butterflies in your stomach, right? Or somebody's gripping your heart with a hand. It's just like suddenly you're like, and you feel it. You feel that moment of insecurity. I'm convinced that one of the main drivers in the lives of most people very often is insecurity. There's a moment that there's that feeling that life is going to slip away, something's going to happen. and we're either feeling it or we're responding to that feeling and trying to keep from feeling it. Do you know what I'm talking about? That feeling that somebody might do something to me or say something to me or find out something about me and life is going to spin out of control. Something might happen in circumstances of life and we're not sure exactly what that means for us. And so a lot of our lives, I think if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of our lives when we dig down deep is responding to that sense of insecurity, that sense of fear of the future, of what might happen. And so people, they kill themselves with stress and worry and anxiety, and they become workaholics, right? To try to control and respond to the insecurities of life by doing everything they can to secure their lives. Or people, you know, become, you know, professionals at constructing masks that they can wear so no one else can see the real them because they're afraid of what would happen if that happened. Or we become, you know, just highly kind of confrontational, short-fused people who the moment we feel someone's coming up into our territory, it's like we bark. Back off. Don't try it. We become hyper-control freaks who want to control every single aspect of our lives. Or even worse, we become the kind of people who want to control every aspect of our family's lives. We want to control every aspect of our kids' lives. We want to make sure this can't happen, or this can't happen, or this can't happen, or that can't happen. And so we construct, you know, long lists of things that have to be done to make sure our kids are going to be okay. And as long as the list gets checked off, we feel good. But if the list doesn't get checked off, we feel bad. Now, I'm talking about basic stuff here, guys. And chances are, if you don't know what I'm talking about yet, if you don't understand that feeling yet, you might have a blind spot to it in your life. Because the truth is, this is something every single human being has to struggle with. And so we have to ask a question. What is the source of that kind of sense of insecurity? Where does it come from? I'm convinced that when we ask the question of where does this sense of insecurity come from, we're bumping up against the issue of hope, which has been the theme of the series that we're in right now. As we look at this season of Advent and we join with Israel in hoping for the coming king, as they hope for the king to come, we are hoping for the king to come again. The issue of our insecurity really comes down to where are we placing our hope? Are we placing our hope in our ability to control circumstances? Are we placing our hope in our ability to determine outcomes? Are we placing our hope in our resources? Or are we placing our hope in something else? Are we placing our hope in the Lord? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 3. And this is the central idea we're going to be exploring and unpacking. It's this: hope frees us from insecurity. Would you say that with me? Hope frees us from insecurity. Let's say it one more time. Hope frees us from insecurity. Okay, would you pull out your Bibles and turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 3. If you're looking at the Bibles there in the seat racks, we're on page 1004. If you're using your own Bible, you can look it up in the table of contents. I don't know about you, I had to figure out, okay, where is Zephaniah again? Yeah, it's before Zechariah. Okay, I got you. We're going to be looking at Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, we love you, and Father, we thank you that you love us. And God, we all know that feeling of insecurity, that feeling of slippage, that feeling that things might spin out of control and we're not sure what we can do if that happens. Lord, some of us have become experts at controlling and managing things. We've become hyper vigilant, or we've become extremely capable people. And we've almost forgotten that some of our drive is rooted in this fear, Lord, this fear that is not from you. And Lord, I want to pray this morning that you would help us to surrender that to you, that you would help us surrender our need to establish our own security, and that we could place our hope in you and find where true security lies. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. So hope frees us from insecurity. We're looking at this text in Zephaniah, and one of the things that we see right away is that Zephaniah is unpacking this kind of, it's just a beautiful picture of what heaven's going to be like. When heaven comes to earth again, this is what it's going to look like. When God brings his kingdom fully into earth, this is what it's going to look like. And there are all these kind of beautiful descriptors for that. But one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, why is Zephaniah writing these things to him? Why is it the Lord wants to reveal these things to Israel? And to get that, it helps to understand a little bit about the background of this text. Zephaniah is prophesying during the reign of Josiah, who was one of the righteous kings of Israel. Last week we talked about, you know, Israel's kings, some of them being righteous, some of them being unrighteous and going back and forth. So Zephaniah is prophesying during a time of one of the righteous kings. But there's this issue. Before Josiah was the king of Israel, there had been two previous kings who had been incredibly wicked. These guys were bad guys. These guys were sacrificing their own children to idols. They were establishing idolatry in the very temple of God. These were awful people. And so God had promised he was going to bring judgment on Israel because not just the kings, but the entire nation had entered into human sacrifice and all kinds of terrible things by running after idols, right? So the Lord has